good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to CDH Conversations. This is your host, Tiba Solomon, hosting our Women Empowerment series. Today, we're going to be chatting to Hanlie Brink from Stellenbosch Network. She's currently the operations director. And I met her recently and she made an impression on me because she is an entrepreneur and now she showcases entrepreneurs in a what I think is a really meaningful way. So welcome, Hanlie, and thank you so much for taking the time to join us to chat on CDH Conversations today.
Thank you so much for the invite. I feel very honored. Thank you.
So Hanlie, I mean, having chatted to you, what struck me is that you are an entrepreneur. And in addition to the work that you now do with the Stellenbosch Network, you would have started off, if I recollect, in terms of your sort of children's programming business. And perhaps you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and then tell us a little bit about how it is that you came to be an entrepreneur and what it's been like for you to date.
Sure, thanks for the question. So I studied many years ago BCom Management Accounting at Stellenbosch University. And after graduating, I went to work in the UK. Many of us could go on a working holiday in those days, which was exciting. And whilst working in a company that administers limited companies, so a lot of people came over to the UK, mainly South Africans, Australians, and New Zealanders, and they rendered their services as a company instead of an individual. And I was always fascinated about the way, you know, businesses work and companies work. And the company I worked for in the UK then asked me after 5 years to actually open a branch for them in Johannesburg, which was very exciting. So I then had the great opportunity to have some pounds in the pocket, but also to use their pounds to set up a business. And it worked quite well, but they exited and we then moved into our own business, which was very exciting with two colleagues working for me. So that was the first part of growing into, okay, let's start a business. How does it work, you know? And then we decided we'd like to move back to Stellenbosch. And my sister and a friend, they studied drama. I studied, as I mentioned, accounting. And they started this kids song and dance and performances. And they said, oh, don't you want to help us a little bit with the business side of things? We, you know, study drama. We don't really have the business acumen. I'm like, yeah, let's check it out. I'll see how this could work doing it on the side. And the character's name is Lolos. People always related to it as the Afrikaans Barney. It's this big green and blue character. And they had one CD, and I know they went and they performed at the Kaka in Ka, which is the arts festival in Uitzwering. And kids loved it, but it was just a CD and song and dance and shows. And we then decided we need to take this further. But you must understand, this was now 18 years ago. So some of the lingo, CDs and DVDs, is not applicable anymore. But yeah, then we decided let's produce a DVD. And we need to grow this brand further. Kids want to, can't just listen to music. They want to also visualize it. And we got money and funding and begged and borrowed. And we hired a studio in Cape Town with a green screen. And we produced our first DVD at that stage. And from there, it just exploded. We had performances across the country. We sometimes had shows for 2,000 people. We produced in the end 10 DVDs, did 10 CDs. The music's still on Apple Music. And it was a massive business and it was really successful. So we were a great team. It was my sister and another friend of ours. And we did this together with a group of actors traveling across the country. Yeah, so that was really my first business. Lolos is still operational as we speak. It's still a massive success story. And we ended up winning top selling DVD in the country at that stage. Music, best Afrikaans CDs, best Afrikaans whatever. So it was very interesting. And there I got into entertainment. I never would have thought, but it was really exciting.
Yeah, it sounds like a really fun journey to have gone on. It just shows that, you know, when you start off as an entrepreneur, the journey is so interesting where you start off with a BCom, and I think you said management, accounting, and going through that journey. You don't think you're going to come into the entertainment industry necessarily.
Exactly. You never know, right? And that's the beauty of it. I think that's also like life doesn't always take you where you think it's going to take you, but sometimes that journey is actually that makes it worth it, you know?
Absolutely. And I think that's maybe some of the things that, you know, you want to convey to young entrepreneurs is, you know, where you're at is not where you're going to be in 18 years' time. But When you're looking back now, I mean, what were some of the challenges that you faced as an entrepreneur that you can recall? And I think for a lot of moms who are either corporate professionals or entrepreneurs, how did you manage being an entrepreneur, growing the business, being a mom? And then what are some of the other challenges that you encountered?
Firstly, focusing on the challenges, when I mentioned DVD, you probably thought, what's that?
No, I'm old. I'm older than you think, honey.
So let's start there. You know, we built this business around, let's produce DVDs every year, sold like masses of amounts of them. And I don't know, it just actually all changed so quickly. Technology changes really quickly. We all know that. But in that time, you know, when you built your business model around, we produce CDs and DVDs, and it's going to every year make a lot of money. And literally, I would say in 2 years' time, DVDs disappeared at that stage. And to go into the digital, like YouTube, etc., it wasn't as lucrative. So you still had to go and at that time, you had to go and hire a film studio, actors, green screens, post-production, animation, etc. It wasn't lucrative to create any new content because you couldn't sell it. You couldn't monetize it. And for example, kids entertainment couldn't be monetized at that stage on YouTube. You couldn't really do advertisements, etc. So that was a big challenge. And it actually, you know, then we said, okay, let's go. And we focus on doing live performances and selling other merchandise. We had plush toys, la, la, la. And then COVID hit and live shows couldn't work anymore. I think the big thing you always know as an entrepreneur is there will be challenges and you need to innovate and change your business model. You cannot just say, okay, we've got the fantastic model. It's going to work forever. Reality is things and life will change and it moves really, really quickly. So I think that was sort of the biggest challenge for us and still ongoing and how quickly you must adjust. And then in terms of the mum and entrepreneurship thing, the content we created were for kids. So your kids could often go with you to shows. Not that you always, you know, there's a lot of back-end stuff that happens to get the shows. Our kids would be a little bit of acting on the side in a movie and things like that. But it is a big multitasking, you know, you maybe not paying full attention to the business or full attention to being a mum or a wife or anything. But the reality is if you're busy and you're working, you just get it done. So it is a challenge, of course, but at the end, just take the time to try and focus on the moment where you're at now. If you're at home, you sometimes have to work at night, of course, but just realize it will be a challenge. It's not just smooth sailing, but it's an exciting challenge as well. And just rather go for the ride and try and do everything as best as you can.
I like the fact that your approach to it was with optimism, you know, that sort of integrate your children into your life as best as you can and you do the best that you can do, you know, within your circumstances. And I think what you say about the technology and the way that that changed the features of your business or the sort of prospects of it is even more pronounced now in the way that technology and the likes of AI is changing the digital landscape. And as a technology lawyer,
exactly, you see that all the time, right?
yeah. I mean, from, you know, the outset when I started my career to the point that we're at now, it seems like a fundamentally different world. It just shows that, you know, you as an organization, as an entrepreneur, you know, you've got to be ready for the changes that are coming and you've got to adapt as you go. And I suppose in that same way, you kind of transitioned into this role within the Stellenbosch network, which was in many ways reinventing yourself and reinventing how you were going to apply your talents and your passions. So perhaps you can tell us a little bit about how you came to be involved in the Stellenbosch network and your role and what it actually is about.
The Stellenbosch network, we've been operating for about 5-6 years now. So I was like 44. Myself like being connecting people and networks is important for me. I love community. Like even we live in, as I mentioned, in Stellenbosch, I'm involved. I've been like on the governing body of my kids' schools in primary. And, you know, last year organized a matric farewell at a high school. I feel you have to be involved. You need to be part of a community and people look after each other in that way. So I've like always know a lot of people as well. That's how I operate. Even at varsity, I was always involved. involved with many things. So about 6 years ago, I got an email to say there's this position. It was at that stage under the university, we're advertising the position for a new Stellenbosch business network. And everyone asked me, don't I know someone, you know, who could run the job or start this whole new network? And I read through the job spec and I thought, sure, I can actually do all of this. But I like, you know, my own job and I like doing what I'm doing. So I don't even have a CV. I've only worked for myself for so long, but let's try. And I actually got the CV together and submitted the CV and got an interview. You're very corporate, you know. I was quite nervous, I won't lie. And I got the job. And that was very exciting. I'm like, yes, you know, walked into the university. How will this work now? And it was quite daunting, as I mentioned, being 44 years old and starting a corporate thing, you know. But then at that stage, there was funding in place. The concept was there, but it was still, it had to be initiated. And what was great about it is we actually started the whole Stellenbosch network as a startup. Yes, we are a nonprofit organization, but you needed members, which is your clients. You needed to deliver services, being events or challenges or programs we run. And, you know, you had to go and look at it as a startup. We needed money. We need funding from businesses, etc., to make it work. So, yeah, I'm the operations director of Stellenbosch Network, and we're a business network in town for the greater Stellenbosch area. So we have members from small startups to larger corporates. We fund it by the university as well as Department of Science Innovation. They've got a regional innovation support program. Various other corporates, Remgro, Capitec. We work very closely with the university's business incubator, Launch Lab. Westgrow and the municipality is also part of us. And the whole focus is on entrepreneurship development, which I love, as well as innovation. So yeah, the whole technology that was a bit of a trigger in my previous journey is now really what drives me. And, you know, I get to meet so many amazing people, but also to get to know about amazing new technologies and innovations. We run various programs and projects, as I mentioned. We do, for example, every year ideation or innovation challenge, and we meet amazing people and such bright young minds. So it's really, really inspiring work we do. And then we try and connect with networking events, which I love, connecting people and to see the success that that often creates as well. So it's grown a lot since the beginning. We've been running bigger industry-specific events as well. For up to 200 people at an event. We're busy planning a health technology event now as well. So it's really broad and very interesting and I love it.
Yeah, I mean, so I have actually obviously attended one of your events. And I mean, you see such a broad group of young, and not necessarily just young people, but entrepreneurs. And it sort of showcases the capacity that South Africans have for innovation and the fact that people are thinking about finding solutions, digital solutions, innovative solutions to some of the challenges that we're facing, whether it's in terms of our economy or in terms of climate. That's so interesting to me that there's so much hope. It's the term nation from people who are coming together, scientists who are thinking creatively, thinking broadly in terms of some of the things that we need solutions to in the world. And as a technology lawyer, that gets me really excited because obviously it means that we have to come up with new contractual models, new risk-based models for startups. And that's the reason why I do what I do. But it was interesting in that particular event that you sort of see presentations from young entrepreneurs, male entrepreneurs, female entrepreneurs. And I got the sense just watching people, you know, through sort of the looking glass, is it feels like there's a different approach between men and women, you know, how they sort of feature as entrepreneurs, how they promote their businesses. And I was curious to know, because you have that bird's eye view, are there differences? Do you see those differences? Are they prominent?
Oh, it always sounds like such a cliche, doesn't it? But there's a lot of differences. We're actually hosting a Women's Day event on women in business and the challenges we face. And I think the differences, so let's first not say the challenges, the differences is I just think a woman can multitask better. I know that's also a cliche, but I'm sorry, I will stick to that. I think that some of the strong points we bring out in business as well, sometimes just thinking a bit differently, strategically, we do think differently, finding a solution. I think that I'm generalizing a little bit now probably, but that's how I often find it. And often in meetings as well, like I think men can overthink a little bit, where we're a bit more practical. No, and the challenge is just that you have to be present in quite a lot of situations. At home, you have to focus on kids growing up, or if you have kids, not everyone does that, but you still, you know, make a home, make things work, be a good friend, which men does have as well, don't get me wrong. But I think the most important thing is just you need to juggle a lot. And it is more for a woman than a man. That is the truth.
Yeah, I mean, I think I heard a couple of ladies the other day, you know, legal advisors saying it's the mental load, right, for women. And if you're an entrepreneur or if you're a corporate professional, that's the journey as well. You're kind of walking around with a mother load in essence. And that's inherently the complexity. But again, I appreciate your sentiment that, you know, be present and look at your life at where it is at that point in time and not necessarily overwhelm yourself. But away from the present, I was interested to know whether you had some advice that you might like to give, you know, a 25-year-old version of yourself. You know, we have a whole bunch of candidate attorneys that come into our organization, and hopefully some of them will listen to this podcast. And I think sometimes, you know, you'd like to hear what somebody was telling their 25-year-old self.
I think one thing, and I often say this to my kids, is life is not perfect. And you can have this picture perfect idea of graduating, creating a career. Things will not always turn out as you plan. And the biggest thing is, how will you go about that? How will you face the challenges? Because life is definitely not perfect. But that is also that makes it ideal. You can't just have a picture perfect life. It is very, very boring. And I think just know that there'll be challenges, and always to try and have a plan B and a plan C. But that you learn with time, because you don't have a choice if life is not perfect. But I think that's part of the excitement in the imperfection.
That is sage advice. And I think now in the age of social media, there's this veneer of, you know, all the perfect things and the perfect career. And, you know, sometimes you could be on LinkedIn and you could just be doom scrolling on LinkedIn, and suddenly you're basically languishing in your insecurity because you realize that, you know, your career is not necessarily gone according to plan, and somebody else looks like they're doing it really well.
I'm so glad I didn't always have social media in my life, because you look at your kids and young people and you feel sorry for them, because, you know, like this July holiday, I was lucky enough to go on a road trip through the Karoo and West Coast, and it's amazing. But a lot of my friends went to Greece and Italy, and I'm like jealous because of the sun. But hello, you can't compare that.
I think that's sort of critical, is trying to sort of make your own way with your own skills and your own abilities and find your own path on your own terms. And I suppose, closing off, what is the sort of advice that you have at the forefront of your mind that you'd like to give to a young entrepreneur or a corporate professional? What do you see as sort of some really good key advice that you can impart?
I think what I mentioned earlier is work with the imperfections as well. Everything won't be perfect, but it's how you deal with that that's important. And be present where you are. Take time off for yourself as well. It's fine to grow a career and a business, but you have to take time off for yourself. Be with friends, be with family. That's what life is all about. You can't just work, work, work. You need to be healthy. You need to be outside, walk in the mountains, appreciate the small things in life as well. And you can balance everything. Don't think that you're an amazing employee if you answer emails at 3 o'clock in the morning. You're actually not. You need to sleep and you need to do something lacquer then, you know. Know that it's always a juggling act, but you can make it work and you can find your perfect balance.
Yeah, that's again really good sage advice, because that balance is important. And, you know, lawyers often don't get that right. You know, they're sort of, I spoke to a colleague the other day and he said, I haven't taken leave for 3 years. And I was like, what? Are you kidding? Like, are your body, nobody's body is supposed to go on like that for years on end. Take some time.
And you see it with these, like the work I do, I work often with students and young entrepreneurs, and they're so driven. I must tell you, like young people and like the internet and social media and the perfect life you see, people grow craft and they really go out there and they do everything. And it's very inspiring. The youth to me is incredibly inspiring. And, you know, I'm excited. And also with things moving so quickly, it's exciting to see how new businesses start and how people grow and how they make a difference in our country as well. But it's still important to find the balance, no matter how hard you work.
Yeah, it's the cure for burnout. Honey, I just want to say thank you again for taking the time to chat with me. This was, as I had hoped for, a nice sort of warm and lovely conversation to have with a lady who I believe is empowered and is empowering people. So thank you so much for taking the time, and I hope you have a good rest of your week.
Oh, thank you so much. As I mentioned, I feel very honored. And it was lovely meeting you as well. And we're looking forward to do further work with you guys as well. So thank you for taking the time and for hearing my side of the story as well. I appreciate it a lot.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.